God said that our so-called righteousness, our righteous acts, are like a filthy rag, a menstrual rag in His sight. And that we all wither like a leaf and our sins carry us away like the wind. Underlying the idea of atonement, original sin, and justification is the doctrine that we call, that I'm calling, imputation. Imputation, after the King James Version words in chapter 4 of the book of Romans. But we'll talk about that in a minute. We talked about how that the prophets knew, that the Bible and the Old Testament knew, no one could be 100% righteous and stand before God. David said, if you were to count iniquities, O Lord, who would be able to stand? There's none living that's righteous in your sight. We quoted those scriptures last time. But the prophets saw a kind of righteousness that was not of man's doing. In the book of Isaiah, I'm going to start in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17. God says, no weapon formed against you will succeed, and you will refute any accusation raised against you in court. This is the heritage of the Eternal's servants, and their righteousness is from me. This is the Lord's, the Eternal's declaration. Their righteousness is from me. In Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3, we see this. He says, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of the faint spirit, that they may be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Eternal, that He, the Eternal, may be glorified. They're the oaks, the trees of righteousness, but who planted them? God planted them. And why? So that He may be glorified. Dropping down to verse 10, Isaiah 61, I will greatly rejoice in the Eternal. My soul will exalt in God. For He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. God has adorned us with righteousness. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Eternal until He comes, listen to this, to rain, like the storm that's planning to be here tonight, to rain righteousness on you. He will rain it down on you, righteousness. And in Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 15 and 16, in those days and at that time I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness on the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called. This is Judah's name, the Eternal, our righteousness. And there's a italic word is there, the Eternal is our righteousness. Yahweh is our righteousness. So even in these passages in the Old Testament, there are hints of God's righteousness being given to other people. Now, it's a forensic thing, you see. It's a legal thing. We're not talking an actual righteousness. As we mentioned before, that it's not when God imputes it, and we'll talk about that, how He imputes it, okay? Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, a bond servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which He promised beforehand through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures, That gospel of God is concerning, verse 3, concerning what? Concerning his son. Now, I've heard Pound Pass, the gospel is not about Jesus Christ. It's not about Jesus Christ. Well, of course it's about Jesus Christ. Are you saying the good news is not about Jesus Christ? That's ridiculous. Or that Jesus Christ is not the gospel? Of course he's the good news. What is the good news? If it's not about Jesus Christ, what he said, what he did, who he is, and everything about him, his resurrection, his birth, his soon coming, everything about Jesus Christ is the good news. So it's the good news of God concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh. Dropping down to verse 16, here's what Paul writes. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of this good news. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Do you ever think of that? That the gospel itself is the power of God. The good news concerning Jesus Christ, all about Christ and everything about him and everything he's going to do, including his future kingdom, including his present powers, including his death, his resurrection, his birth, everything, that gospel is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. For in it, listen to this, in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Not your righteousness, but God's righteousness is revealed in that gospel. It is revealed from faith to faith. Or, as it can be translated, by faith for faith. Or another translation, if you take those Greek words and take them into English, by faith to faith. There are many interpretations of this phrase. In the Greek, it's ek pestuos, eis pestuos, from faith into faith, out of faith into faith in the Greek. But the Greek prepositions can be translated a number of ways. So it's ek pestuos, eis pestuen, which is, just different endings for the same word. And it may have the idea that righteousness is obtained by faith because it was designed for faith. How do you get this righteousness? Through faith. So here it is again. For in the gospel of God, in the gospel, okay, the righteousness of God is revealed. Out of faith into faith, from faith to faith. Just as it is written, the just man shall live by faith. This is a quote from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. But the word just in the King James is translated in the New American Standard, the righteous man shall live by faith. There's a lot of mix-up on the words righteous, just, and just. The word just, J-U-S-T, if you're a just person, that means you're a righteous person. It's the same Greek word that can be translated either way, righteous or just. If you're a just man, it means you're a righteous man. We want just judgment, right? It means righteous judgment. It means right judgment. So here it is. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's God's power of salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and then to the Greek. For in it, that gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Out of faith into faith, from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Because God's wrath is coming against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men, and so on. All right, so in the book of Psalm now, I'm just going to read this passage in Psalm 71, verses 16 and 17. Here's what the psalmist wrote. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord eternal, the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I will declare your wondrous deeds. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. So this is the righteousness of God. In other words, it's not a righteousness that belongs to you. It's the righteousness that belongs to God. Your righteousness is what? Filthy rags, polluted. Because no matter how good you are, many of you are good as far as human beings are concerned, we are. But you know, our righteousness is spotty, isn't it? One day you're pretty good, the next day you're not so good. One day you do pretty good things, the next day you're lusting, and you're inside you, you're corrupt. One day you're fine, and the next day you're not. And one day you're doing this, and the next day you're jealous. The next day you're doing that, and the next day you're gossiping. One day you're doing this, and the next day you're doing... And, you know, our righteousness is spotty. You lose your temper sometimes. You do this sometimes. So in yourself, you know that your righteousness is like what before God? If you come and say, well, look, I want to present myself to God, right? Look at me, God, how righteous I am. There's a parable about that, by the way. You remember the parable? Let's go to that for just a minute. That's Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. Jesus told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they viewed others with contempt. You know, it's been a penchant when the men, people of the churches of God, and the Sabbath keepers and so on, to look down on other people. You know, well, those people up there, they're not as good as us. You know, they're not as righteous as us. They don't keep the feast. They don't. Now, look at that guy eating a sandwich during the days of unleavened bread. That person is just really nasty. And, you know, we've looked down on them. Sometimes we can do that in our righteousness. We got to watch. So he gave this parable. If we haven't learned anything from this parable, it's pathetic. He told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They viewed others with contempt. So he gave this parable. Here it is. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. He's praying to himself, you know. He's using the word God, but you know, who is he? He's a self-made man who worshiped his creator, you know. He made himself, so he's down here, God, meaning himself. I thank you that I'm not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I pay tithes of all I get. Well, that's certainly righteous, isn't it? But the tax collector, now standing afar off now, he stands a distance away from the temple. He was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm the sinner of all the people. He didn't look down on other people. He said, I'm the sinner of all the sinners there are. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. The word justified means made right with God, made righteous before God. It's a forensic, it's a legal thing. Not that he was inwardly like that, but that he was in God's eyes made right. He was righteous in God's eyes. He went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we have this statement, you see. I will declare your wondrous works. Now, when you take Romans chapter 1, chapter 2, in chapter 1, Paul just lays low the Gentile world. The Gentiles are sinners. They've done all this. They've done all this bad stuff. They've thrown away what they knew. They once knew God, but they threw it away. They adopted this. They worshiped things that weren't God. They've turned into filthy practices, sexual practices and everything. They've done all this bad things, and they've thrown it out. So he really condemns the Gentile world. And then in chapter 2, he turns on the Jews. He said, well, what do you think you are? You think you're better? You who know the law, you know, and you think you're any better? You're supposed to know the law, and you've done it. You've not done it. You're supposed to keep the law, but you haven't done it. You have caused the name of God to be blasphemed in the world because of your actions. So he jumps on them too. And then he comes to chapter 3, and he says, well, you know, everybody's guilty. The Gentiles are guilty. The Jews are guilty. Everybody's guilty. There's none righteous in verse 10. He quotes a psalm. No, not one. There's no one who understands. There's none who seeks God. Now, he's using this as a poetic word. You know, these are poetic things. Now, there's no fear of God before their eyes. He goes on to this. It's a poetic thing. I'm going to begin chapter 3 in verse 19 now. Beginning in verse 19. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says, speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because, verse 20, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Now, I know in time past, people, what does the works of the law mean? That's a big issue. Well, how do you define works of the law? Everyone wants to define it as by the sacrifices and the little things like the works of the law, and some of the sacrifices, the phylacteries and all that. That's the works of the law, the heavy works where you have to haul a cow in and sacrifice. That's the works of the law. Actually, that's really not really a good definition. The works of the law just means people who do deeds based on the law. You do the deeds based on the law. Now, is that wrong? No, it's good. You want to do the law. You don't want to not do the law, okay? But by the works of the law, listen to this, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Well, what do we already know about our righteousness, right? What do we know? Before God, you come and lay your righteousness out, and it's just a bunch of spotty, dirty places. Some parts of your, you know, if you had your cloth laid out like it's a big spread, a big bedspread, and say, God, this is my righteousness. Well, then there's this dirt here and spots there, and here's spot, and there's a spot, and a little place is clean here, a little place is clean there, and the rest of it's dirty. And you lay it out before God, it's like a filthy rag. That's what God thinks of it. So don't come and lay it out before God. By the works of the law, no flesh will be made righteous in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The law is the knowledge of sin, and the works of the deeds of the law are doing it. But verse 21, then what can we do? Since the Gentile world is all filled with sin, the Jewish world has gone off the deep end, and they're filled with sin. What can we do? Paul says, beginning in verse 21, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. Apart from the the do's and don'ts, and apart from the telling you what sin is, God's righteousness is manifested, being witnessed by the law. Now, the word law here means, see, here's the confusion in the New Testament. It's easy to get confused with the word law. The law can mean a commandment. The law can mean books of the Bible. See, the first five books of the Bible called the books of the law. So when you talk about, so when Paul talks about two sections of the Old Testament, he says that apart from the law, the righteousness of God is manifested, being witnessed by the law, meaning apart from commandments, God's righteousness is manifested, being witnessed by the law, the first five books, and the prophets, the second section of the Old Testament. It's being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. Now, whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, there's no distinction. Everybody's sinned, right? For listen to what he says, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you can't go to God and spread your here's my righteousness before you, God. Accept me because I am so good. You can't do it. So in verse 23, for all have sinned. Now verse 24, being justified, the word justified means made righteous. It is a legal term here. You're made righteous as a gift by his grace. Through which, now that doesn't mean you're actually righteous. You're actually doing everything because, but when you believe in Christ, I'm remember what the sinner said? He pounded on his chest and he said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. It didn't mean that he left there and he was now just perfect. He never sinned again. He never did anything wrong. Of course not. It didn't mean after you were baptized and you put on Christ when you were baptized. That's what the Bible says. For everyone who was baptized into Christ has put on Christ. It doesn't mean that therefore after that you put on Christ, you never sinned again, because you have. You've done things. And therefore, but you have put on Christ, that putting on of Christ is your legal. Now you are considered in God's sight. You now can approach God. You now can be close to God because you've been made righteous in his sight by imputation. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay? How did that happen? We'll talk about that in a minute. Being justified as a gift, made righteous as a gift. You didn't earn it. You believed, but you didn't earn it. It wasn't something you did that made you righteous. Being made righteous, justified, means made righteous. That's what that means. Made just. If you say glorify, that means made glorious. You say vivify, that means made alive. Okay? Well, all these words, afide, means maybe made that way. So being justified as a gift by his grace. You didn't earn it. You couldn't have gotten it. Through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. You were bought back. He redeemed you. He bought you back. You didn't earn it. And now God, but you believed. That's it. That's the only thing. It's the belief. Your belief. You had to come up with something. You had to say, I accept that. To everyone who believes. You remember that? To the Jew first and then to the Gentile. We saw that. So whom God displayed, talking about Jesus Christ, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, as a substitute, as a atonement in his blood through faith. How do you get the blood of Christ to apply to you, brethren? You get it through faith. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. You believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. I accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as through faith that he died for me. This, now, he's talking about that came through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, as a atonement in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, not your righteousness. God is, when God forgave you, when God forgave you, when you were baptized, you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when God forgave you, that's not about you. That's about God's righteousness. That's to demonstrate how good and righteous and holy God is. It's a demonstration of His righteousness, which He accepts to you. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, He passed over the sins previously committed. God didn't hold you accountable for your sins. He passed over them. He wiped them out. He just, you know, he just didn't, he in His forbearance. That's because He's righteous. He's so holy. In His goodness, in his dikaiosune, it's a Greek word for righteousness. In His, it's to demonstrate His righteousness. For the demonstration, now in verse 26, for the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time. It's for the it's to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be righteous, just, and the justifier. The justifier, the person who makes righteous, of the one who has faith in Jesus. You get that? Verse 26. To demonstrate, I say, His righteousness at this present time, right now, and that's going on right now, so that He would be righteous and the right wiser, as one translation puts it, the right wiser. He's right wising you. He's making you righteous. The one who has faith, if you have faith in Jesus. Then Paul asks this question, verse 27. Where then is boasting? Can the Gentiles boast? They used to boast about how smart they were and how great they were and the great philosophers of the Greeks and all this, and they boasted about that. And the Jews boasted that we have the law, God's special, and we have all these promises and we have all that. But Paul said, where's the boasting now? All of you are the same. You're all sinners. Where's the boasting? It is excluded. There's no boasting. By what kind of law is it? Is the boasting taken out of there? It's excluded. How did you have a law against boasting? But what kind of law? The law of works? No, he says. But by a law of faith. By a principle of faith, you have excluded boasting. Because all you have to do, you've excluded boasting, because all you have to do is come to Jesus Christ and believe. For we maintain, verse 28, that a man is made righteous, justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. Has nothing to do with the works of the law. Now, this is a legal, not an actual. Don't go around, well, I am so righteous now because I have faith and I am really smart. I'm really right now. And there again, where's boasting? You just went back to it. You can't do it. So you have to say, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Okay? So we maintain that a man is made righteous by faith, apart from the works of the law. Now again, did I say, do you not do the works of the law? Do you just go out and kill? Do you go out and steal people's stuff? Do you go out and swindle? Do you go out and swear? Do you go out and worship false idols? No, you have to do that. But you're so spotty, brethren. You and I are so spotty that when we present our garment before God, it's filthy. He says, get it out of here. But God has given you a legal account. He's put something to your account in which God has looked on you as righteous through faith in Christ Jesus. So we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yeah, he says of the Gentiles also in verse 29. Since indeed God who will make righteous the circumcised by faith. So since indeed God who will justify, that is make righteous the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Ek pistuos, e eis pistuon. Okay? Pistuin. He's going to make the circumcised justified by faith, that is, made righteous, and the uncircumcision through faith. And they're one. That same God is one God. Do we then nullify the law? We're trying to say the law is nullified, that it doesn't matter what the law says or what. Do we nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. Now, here's why he says that. Here's why he says that. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. He goes right on. See, there are no chapters in the Greek manuscripts. What then shall we say? Now he's going to go back to the law. The law is, Genesis is part of the law. The first five books of the Bible are the law. And in fact, sometimes the word law is used for the whole Old Testament. I can show you places that like that. But the first five books of the Bible are called the law. What then shall we say that Abraham our father, according to the flesh, has found? What did Abraham find? What did he find? For if Abraham was made righteous by works, he has something to boast about, doesn't he? But not before God. You don't boast before God. Now, what does the Scripture say? It's a very interesting word. The terminology here is a very interesting terminology. What does, in the present tense, see, the Scripture, it was written so long ago, but it speaks to you today, does it not? Does the Scripture speak to you? He didn't say, what did it say? What did the Scripture used to say? He didn't say that. He uses a present tense, what does. What does the Scripture now say? See, Scripture is living. The Scripture is for us. The Scripture is for you today. What is the Scripture saying to you? When you read the Bible, the Scripture is saying something to you. So here it is. What does the Scripture say? And he quotes the Scripture. Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God. Turn it to your Bible. Genesis 15 and verse 6. You'll read it. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed, reckoned, credited, put on his account as righteousness. So when Paul says, when I'm talking about God's righteousness, that God will make you righteous through faith, am I nullifying the law? Absolutely not. I am verifying it. I'm establishing it. I'm telling you the law is speaking to you today. And what did the law say? What did the first five books of the Bible say? He quotes, Abraham believed God. And it was imputed, reckoned, credited. The same word can be translated any one of those ways and many more ways than that. As righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not credited. See, if Abraham had earned it, you wouldn't say, well, it was, I'll credit you. I'll put this on your account, even though you didn't deserve it. I will impute it to you. I will place it on your account. No, it's not credited. If he worked, okay? Now, the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. But what did the Bible say? Abraham believed, and it was imputed. It was credited. It was reckoned. That's a good word, too. Reckoned. Considered. It was considered. Now, it's not considered. You don't consider that I earned it. I earned it. You don't think I earned it. I earned it. You don't imply that I earned it. I earned it if I actually did the wages. But here the Bible says he was credited. He was imputed. It was reckoned to him as righteousness. This is a major, major doctrine of the New Testament. What does the Scripture say to you and to me? We'll talk more about that in our next sermon.